Good morning.
Hello. It's nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to be heard. Well, aren't we getting the worms?
We are. We are indeed.
That is a reference, dear listeners, to the fact that we are early birds.
Not as early as the actual birds at this time of year. They really squawk it up, don't they?
They really do. Who have you got in your garden?
I've got a lot of magpies and a lot of pigeons, I have to say. Some blackbirds. Nice. Every now and again, yes. I see a hawk. What are they called? A hawk? A hawk? Sparrowhawk?
Sparrowhawk? Goodness me. Wowzers, we have no birds of prey in our garden. We've got Jeffrey, that's true. But he is not a bird of prey. He is a fan of the birds. He watches them. We have got, in our garden at the moment, we have sparrows, we have tits, we have finches. We also have a pair of nesting pigeons who are on their second brood of the summer. The other two have fledged and left.
Wow, and they do more than one brood in a summer.
Apparently so. Oh, we knew that because last year we had a pair of collared doves and they had four batches. The last batch didn't really do anything.
What do you mean they didn't do anything?
As in they laid the last batch of eggs, but they didn't hatch. But they had...
Like a plant at the end of the summer having a go, like strawberries, which just don't quite take off, you know, just,
I guess,
just
so
shrivel
yeah.
and die
yeah.
on the.
Yeah, so we had some non-fertilized eggs, but we had three sets of two, and of those six chicks, five fledged and left the nest.
Wow.
One died. And we've had two lots of two pigeons, and another. Well, who knows how many eggs are underneath her this time? It's just fascinating. Welcome to Summer Watch with Simon and Lee.
This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
I mean, it really has been, it's been a week where you think, oh, yeah, okay, summer.
Yeah. Yeah, this is summer now. Mm-hmm. And I know it won't last. I know that we'll get to
that point. Don't be all English. Oh, my God, the English and the weather. Oh, for God.
What? Just... It's because I said I know it won't last.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're having good weather. You go, yeah, but it won't last. I mean, I know that's not quite the tone you used, but that's a very English thing to do.
Well, it's because we've had very disappointing summers. So what we tend to do is appreciate it while it's here, bake ourselves until we are bright red, and then go inside and cry when it rains.
Yes, it's a very low bar if you're a man in this country, a very low bar to take your shirt off, isn't it?
Oh my God! I was walking back from the train last week, and it wasn't even that warm last week, and I had on a t-shirt, a shirt,
and I had a jacket.
Well, I had a jacket thrown over my arm. I'd taken my jacket off, and there was a man walking towards me in what I can only describe as booty shorts and nothing else.
What are, like, booty shorts are like? Short shorts? Like,
short shorts,
who wears
yeah,
short
yeah.
shorts, kind of?
He
Homer
wore
Simpson.
Short shorts. Yeah, exactly. he definitely wore the short shorts. I mean, don't get me wrong. He looked lovely. He was very fine specimen of humanity.
Oh, he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't muffin topping.
Oh no, God no. He was. He was classic V-ing. But nevertheless, even though he was, he had the goods to display. I did think to myself, well, he'll have nowhere to go by the time it gets really warm. What's he going to take off? His skin? Which is always my worry.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to
feel the benefits.
You don't want to blow your load too early in the summer, do you?
I was hoping you were going to go with peak too soon, but okay.
I've had a funny week.
Oh, funny ha-ha or funny peculiar?
Funny peculiar.
Oh, tell me more, if you can.
Well, I had one of those... Well, first of all, just as a prelude, I had one of those encounters at work where... Do you know that joke that Slavoj Žižek used to talk about communism?
I'm sorry, I just have to point out now that anybody who starts, do you know that joke that Slavoj Žižek used to make about communists? You just know that they are not somebody who has spent a lot of time in a comedy club.
Anyway, he used to tell us.
So I was down at Just for Laughs in Chicago, and there was Slavoj Žižek, and he did this great 15-minute set about his mother-in-law.
I was laughing. My mate was laughing. Funny.
Sorry.
Nearly fucking shat.
Slavoj Žižek, communists.
So, yeah, about, you know, a guy in a communist-era Russian cafe saying, I'd like a coffee with no cream, thanks. And the waiter says, I'm sorry, we don't have any cream. Would you like it without milk? And and you'll understand why I really like that joke. I think it's a very funny joke.
It
says something about
a
mentality, which is, I mean, of course, I know very little about communist era Russia, but it's something about that joke which makes sense of the way in which ideology works.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a prelude. To the prelude, which is, I had this. We were, sort of bumping in for this event we were having during work, and I said, "Like, we're going to need a ladder," and a ladder had been organised. And it turns out that the ladder in our building is on a fob, and I don't know what that means, other than no one's allowed to use it unless you've had
training.
Training.
Yeah,
and also
working at height training.
And also, nor can you not use it. You can't actually take it off the thing. You need to get people to do that, and you need to...
Is it specially locked up, like some of the ladders I've seen in studios?
Correct.
Yes, I know exactly this sort of situation where you've got an A-frame ladder that has a special bracket on the wall with keys.
Great.
And you can only sign the keys out if you've done your at-height training.
Right. And
gotcha.
And so what did I do, of course? I got a table and did all the work I needed to do while standing on a table. And there's something about that ideology, which is you can't use this thing because of the minuscule risks. The minuscule risk. I know people fall off ladders. I get it. But... And so what I did was it increased the risk by having me stand on a table because this thing needed to get done. And it did. It blew my mind. There was like a little instance of, oh, this is basically communist mentality in terms of thinking about the way people behave and constructing a state around the way we want people to behave as opposed to how they actually behave.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bizarre, Lee Miller.
Yes. Well, I think we've talked in the past about the idea that the health and safety regulations have been interpreted in a particular way in the UK that you don't encounter in other places.
We have talked about it, and you're being accurate.
That sense that there's no signs at the edge of this cliff. Well, it's because it's a cliff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and there's a stretch on the river where, in fact, it's just before where Jeff and I see the seal. We didn't see him today because we went on a different walk. We went up, not down.
I'm surprised. So Jeffrey took you on a he went up, not down.
Well, interestingly, he did. He went up, not down. But we had a moment of slight impasse where we reached a literal fork in the road and he wanted to go right. And I said, Jeffrey, the left-hand path is the more interesting. You know it is the more interesting. And he said, yes, Lee, but there is something along the right-hand path that is more sniffy. So what I had to do was, I had to compromise, which was let him go and sniff the thing along the right-hand path to the point where he was satisfied he'd sniffed it, and then double back, because I wanted to go along the left-hand path because I knew it had a nicer view at the top. There were no, there was no seal anywhere in this scenario, but where the seal lives, which is in the river, which is in the opposite direction, about a year ago, a barrier was put up just on the corner in case you were going hell for leather, walking along the river and forgot that there was a river and fell into the river.
Do you think, how many times do you think that's happened?
Somebody's fallen in the river?
At that point?
Let me say, I've never done it. And let me say, I've never seen anybody else do it, because it's, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it gives me a level of security when I come tear-arsing along at about half a mile an hour.
I just had a vision, which is only, sorry, a memory, I should say. Very difficult to distinguish between memories and visions in my world. And I was bumping in a show. I think it might have been it was one of the very early professional choreographies. And of course, as everyone did, well, not everyone, but I certainly mucked in, and I was up yes. a very high ladder A-frame, a ladder leaning against the lighting grid.
Oh, I remember those.
Yep.
Do you know, the only thing I hate more than a ladder leaning against a lighting grid is a telescope.
See, I'd go up in a telescope. It's not what we call them in Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, what do you call them?
Something scope. I can't remember it.
A higher scope.
See,
upper scope.
Doesn't matter. And you go on. Shall I finish my story?
No, you finish your story. I was just going, I remember them. I don't like telescopes. Carry on.
Anyway, so I'm up this ladder, and I had that, and trying to focus a light. And I had that little feeling of going, oh, I'm not quite that comfortable up here, and I'm starting to get a little bit vertigo. Yeah, a little bit of vertigo. And the lighting designer,
poopy falling. Yeah.
Exactly. The lighting designer looks over at me. I said, I'm not too good. He goes, have you got that feeling like you're going to fall? And not healthy. That was the training I got on the job.
Yeah. Have you got that feeling you're going to fall?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
I'm feeling sick. Oh, warm fish milkshake.
Oh, yeah, that is just not what you want, is it?
Yeah. I need to go to the toilet. Running water. Anyway.
I think there's a space in hell for the kind of people
lighting
who
designers.
Do that. No, for the people who, when you say, I feel a little sick, and then they say... warm fish milkshake, which you did just a few episodes ago.
In fact, there is a place in hell for me. Thank you. This is what this episode is about.
It's that
place in
to.
Hell. Do you think it's like a little two up, two down in hell, or is it?
No, I think it's a massive ball of dough and an oven that is just the right temperature. But here's the thing: the dough won't prove.
There you go. There's my little place in hell. Thank you for...
And you couldn't find your banadol. You weren't able to get a razor blade to slash the top of your loaf.
Who gets to talk about hell and banatons in one sentence? For those of you listening and you don't know what a banaton is, well, look it up.
Also, for those of you listening who don't know what a telescope is or don't understand what the concept of focusing a light might mean.
Or whose love or Zizek is.
It's funny, of all the things that we've talked about today that are esoteric and random.
Telescope.
No, it's the focusing a light.
It's very odd, isn't it? I did actually, because I thought.
Oh, this is it's a very particular thing that I think you would only have encountered if you are a lighting designer or if you've worked in small-scale touring theatre and dance, because I don't think if you're working in, large-scale stuff, that's stuff you'd ever worry about.
Yeah, you might hear someone going, we need to focus the lights. But even then,
you'd
probably...
Stand there?
Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas... Yeah, it's and that then it reminds me of working with first years and technicians, and then going, why can't they find their light? Why can't they find their light?
No one's ever taught
them. It's not that hard. It's like, well, because it's not something that you innately understand. You actually have to find out that there's a feeling that you have when the light is on your face, and then you know you are lit. But you have to learn that feeling. It's
Yeah. Also, even the phrase "find your light" is just. I mean, yeah, it's very odd. It's very yes. Anyway. So that's
That's not the strangeness of the, that was the prelude. Oh my god, I love this. We are what? How long are we? We are 15 minutes into our conversation.
So yeah,
and that was just the. And maybe this is where the stinger comes in. Welcome to Midlife.
And you could just sing the tune instead, save you the hassle of dropping it into the track.
There you go.
That's great. And I recognized an old feeling. Mm-hmm. And if we've talked about this before, pretty likely at this stage. Sorry, everyone. There's a particular feeling I get, which is sort of halfway between feeling self-righteous and feeling taken for granted, and they seem to be quite closely related.
And I don't think we have talked about this, Simon.
Yeah, and I had it in whopping doses this week. Whopping.
Okay.
And I thought maybe, you know, actually I had lots of other things I thought it might be fun to talk about, but this is that's what's just come out.
Go on then. I want to know. So what precipitated this sense of feeling poorly used and at the same time on the moral high ground?
Yeah, so you can hear how they're, I mean, you can imagine how they're related, right?
I can imagine, yeah, but I'm curious what precipitated it.
Well, I have to be a little bit...
Circumspect.
Circumspect, discreet.
Yeah, discreet, subtle.
Yeah.
Talk in code.
Careful. Yes.
Yeah. So this is where you just move into like just description. There is an academic who has a head.
And I'm going to do. I was going to do the whole show in Morse code for people. Put it this way. I have certain expertise. And
no doubt about it.
I work hard, and every now and again, I feel as if certain circumstances in which I should be, let's say, I should be recognized for that, but I'm not.
Recognized for the expertise or recognized for the fact that you are a grafter or for both?
The expertise.
Expertise,
don't
gotcha.
Care about the grafting. Mm-hmm. Yes, and which might be saying, why wasn't I asked to do that?
Ah, right, gotcha.
And why was that person asked to do that? And of course, you know, I talked to Lil and she would go, well, did you say I would like to do that? And yeah. She's absolutely right. And then I'll go, but why wasn't I asked to do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? And it doesn't make
me,
see what you mean. Because I totally get it, that idea of putting oneself forward. I mean, we've definitely talked about that at conferences, the people who are looking past you.
Yeah, oh, we have, absolutely, yeah.
And there's something that's a special kind of breed, and not an uncommon breed in the academic world.
I would say that probably the vast majority of people at conferences are looking over shoulders.
Yes.
I would say there are not very many people who are engaged in a direct conversation with the person that they are with.
There's and something else going on.
Yeah. And I have to be honest, and I have to reflect upon the fact that I'm probably part of that problem, only I'm, instead of looking for more important people to talk to, I'm looking for somebody who I know is going to make me have a better time. When I say I'm looking for somebody who's going to give me a better time, I mean who's bringing the sandwiches.
Exactly. And so I don't... And when I say, like, it dominated my week, you know, that...
The feeling.
Yeah, the feeling. Yeah. I really hung on to it.
So it kind of roiled in you. It was something that you couldn't... Because I know that you've been meditating quite a lot.
Yes, I have, yes.
And it wasn't something that you were able to sit with. It wasn't something that you were able to kind of just be with and recognise that this is a thing that's happening rather than necessarily a thing that is happening to you.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think that it was... I mean, I don't tend to think of moving past things. I tend to think of just, I mean, I guess that's what you're saying, which is going, oh, that's that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, exactly.
Oh, that's that feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was more than that. The volume was turned up on it in a way that, yeah exactly. And I guess the feeling is perhaps one that listeners will recognize. It's a little bit like it's happening to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your sense of agency with respect to the feelings.
Yeah.
Like the way anger, as if anger has come from somewhere else and hit you.
As you've gotten older, what's your relationship to anger been like? Does it come to you more or less? I'm going to come back to the question.
As you have gotten older.
I was going to say
an older brother, and I can tell you a story or two about him. That's for sure. I've got two of them.
There's only one we want to talk about. As you have gotten older, yes. Not gotten older.
Thank you.
.. What has your relationship to anger become? Have you found yourself becoming more quick to anger, less quick to anger? Does it dissipate more quickly? I know this is not what we were talking about, and I would like to return to that sense of roiling.
Well, we might not have talked about it enough.
I'm interested in how you process it, but I also, in this particular instance, just thinking about anger, where does that sit for you now? Because I think I've never seen you angry, I don't think. Not proper.
Really?
I don't think I have ever seen... I've seen you frustrated and I've seen you irritated. But I've never seen you... And I would say I've probably seen you frustrated and irritated 75% of the time. But I'm teasing everybody. That's not how I find Simon.
85% of the time.
It's more like 99.9. It's just a low-level form of...
Because just so let's be clear, everyone who listens to this podcast regularly knows how good at statistics Lee Miller is. So when he says 75%, it could be anything from, 5% to, 98%. It could be somewhere in that range. It's a number.
We're talking about the fact that it happened once, and I am extrapolated. It's all the time.
Is it a whole number?
Who knows? Is it? What are numbers? In fact, I've got a better question.
Is it recurring?
Are numbers? Let's just leave it at that. Are numbers?
Yes.
So yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you cross like properly shouty crackers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think. Well, I'll diverge before I answer your question, and which is, I don't think I. Growing up, anger was in our household. There was a lot of yelling in our household.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the shame of playing out in the street. When I say playing out in the street, we had quite a long driveway, like a gravel driveway. When I say quite long, probably 50 meters. So, you know, it was quite a way back off the... 40 metres, 50 metres, quite a way back off the road, off the street.
Yeah.
And we used to play out on the street all the time with, you know, neighbourhood kids. That's what we did. And I was just remember the shame of one of my, I guess, neighbour kids saying, basically, is everything okay? There's always a lot of shouting in your house.
Oh.
Big shout out to the McLeans across the road. And so I think I have quite strong memories of that not being something I wanted to do or be. Mm. So I think if I were being unkind, I would say I've repressed a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I think I have a tendency towards anger. Anger frightens the hell out of me.
Right.
I find it quite scary. But my, in answer to your question, yes, it's certainly softened.
Mm.
No question. Much like we talked about beauty last week, there's something about, I think, of all the pleasures of getting older. Wow, we're talking about midlife. This is weird.
two on the truck we talked about, actually, the people thing we're called.
People will start to turn off.
In their droves.
Yeah.
They have to turn on in their droves first, but still.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's something, there, of all the pleasures, I think there's something about just that softening, which is a little bit like being available, if I were to contrast them, being available to beauty and being less available to anger, if I, you know, I'm not putting them on some kind of strange, weird binary, but... But the thing, to go back to the other thing, is that...
Yes.
I've certainly noticed this week being, as I've dealt with that taken-for-grantedness of being on the cusp of anger a lot.
Next time on Midlifing. It's hard, though, isn't it, in a professional situation to... do the thing where you acknowledge how you're feeling and actively do something about the feeling.
Yeah, so it just sounds weird.
It does. You're talking about here being feeling as if you were taken for granted. How do you give voice to that in a professional context?